Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Garage Talk Live. It is June the 16th. Hope everybody had a nice Father's Day for all you dads out there. NASCAR in action all over the place, Nationwide Series and the Cup Series at Michigan International Speedway and the Truck Series down at Gateway Speedway. And joining us, a very special guest, a friend of the show, haven't talked to him in a little bit, driver of the number 50 Make Motorsports Chevrolet, entered in the Driving for Lineman 200 at the Gateway Speedway, and it's also the sponsor of the truck, TJ Bell. TJ, welcome back, buddy.
Hey, buddy, how you doing?
Oh, not too bad. It's been a while since we had you on, or a little bit of, bouncing around there. Now you're back with Make Motorsports this year and seem to be running fairly decent.
Yeah, we're running good. We got our team, you know, getting better and better every week, and we're definitely making steps forward and getting better, so it's a good deal.
That's pretty good. Now, Gateway had been off the map for a while because they used to be owned by Dover Motorsports, and they pretty much got rid of all their tracks except for the Monster Mile. And what was it like being back on the old Gateway? Have they done anything to it since the last time you ran there?
Yeah, no, I mean, the new ownership of the racetrack's done a great job, and, you know, he did an unbelievable thing by getting us back there. Last time the trucks were there was 2010. That racetrack just it generates great racing, and if anybody watched the Driving for Lineman 200, you saw that. The racetrack just it's one of those things where you can't have a truck that's perfect on both ends of the racetrack. You really got to drive the thing on one end and get it good on the other. So, you know, I really believe it should be on the schedule for the Camping World Truck Series. It's an unbelievable racetrack. It's a great venue. I think the fans loved it. We had a pretty good crowd, and you know, and it being the Driving for Lineman 200, it was very special to be able to go out there and do what we did for all the linemen around the United States.
Yeah, that's a pretty good deal to land those guys, and the fact that they were sponsoring the race doesn't hurt either. But you know, it's just the fact that, you know, it's good to see like one of the older, you know, the different tracks on the circuit too, as far as you know, some of the ones that the Cup teams don't run on. That's why you guys get to run a solo event. You don't have too many Cup drivers sharing the weekend and taking all the big money from everybody. So it was actually just truly a Truck Series run.
Yeah, no, I mean, it really was. And it is a great venue. It's a racetrack that has a lot of character. You know, it's wore out. It's got some bumps, and the pavement goes away. The tires fall off, and you know, and I love it. It's not a cookie-cutter track, and like you said, we were a standalone event. We were able to let the Camping World Truck Series shine in the Driving for Lineman 200, which was cool.
That's for sure. And like the week before that, you guys were down in Texas running a mile and a half, so you got to get some speed up. And, of course, before that, you were up at Dover, and we didn't get to see you guys up there. I haven't been to Dover since 2011, which is kind of sad, being I moved south. And Tammy couldn't make it this year either to bring the cookies like she usually does.
I know. I know the guys miss cookies. I miss cookies for sure. But, you know, us at Make Motorsports, we've had a decent year. You know, we've been in the top 20 every time I've been in the truck. And, you know, like I said, we're just getting better and better every week. We're the little engine that could, and we're just keep chugging away and plugging away, trying to make our program better. And, you know, we had an unbelievable driving truck at Gateway and ran out of fuel on the first run there, which kind of put us behind the eight ball. But we fought hard all night. And, you know, Mark Tracy and everybody on the team is doing an unbelievable job to you know, get to where we need to be. We're taking little steps, and we're taking steps in the right direction. And, you know, all the people that are helping us out, I can't thank enough.
I was wondering what happened on that first run, because I was watching the race, and it was like, you're running up there, it's like, next thing I know, you're a couple laps down. I was like, what happened? But they don't tell you
it was kind of my call, and it was a judgment call. They had two trucks run out of gas that were sitting on pit lane entry, and we were we're waiting for them to throw the caution flag, and I thought for sure they were going to throw it the lap that I needed to come, so I stayed out one more lap, and they threw it the lap after that, and I ended up running out of gas as they threw the caution flag, so kind of bit us a little bit, but, you know, we live and we learn, and we were gambling a little bit, and, you know, being from Nevada, that's kind of what I do.
Yeah, well, you got to kind of gamble on something like that. It's figuring you know it's going to come out. I think it's I'll just blame NASCAR for waiting a lap. Because you figure you'd have come in as soon as they threw it, you probably would have been sitting pretty because I guess other people were getting scared for stopping on green flag stops. You would have caught the yellow and would have had a nice starting point.
Yeah, if we would have caught it correctly like we wanted to and like it should have happened, we would have been sitting real good and it would have been really nice. But unfortunately, we missed it by a half lap. But, you know, the position we're in with Meg Motorsports, we're in the top 20 in owner's points. I'm in the top 20 in driver's points. And we're doing a great job. And, you know, sometimes we just kind of got to take a little bit of those gambles.
Yeah, and it's good to see that for you guys. Because going back to when I first met Meg Motorsports and you back years ago when you went through some struggles there trying to run nationwide, I guess, and seemed to be the truck series kind of suits the team better. I don't know, it seemed that you have more focus this year.
Yeah, no, I mean, we definitely have more focus. We definitely, you know, have been more methodical about it. And Mark and Tracy have done a great job of putting the pieces together that we needed to before we went to the racetrack. You know, running the Nationwide Series, it's just you're racing against a lot of big money, and it's almost it's impossible for a smaller team to run against those big money teams. So, Camry World Truck Series is probably the most economical, it's the most bang for the buck, and you know what? We have fun doing it. We love truck racing. I love truck racing. It's a good old Saturday night, pull your gloves up over your elbows and go to work.
Yeah, truck racing is more fun to watch, too, because the races don't tend to get that long, so you got to be on your toes for the full 100 to 250. I think your longest race is, what, 300 laps somewhere on one of the longer tracks or 300 miles on one of the longer tracks?
Yeah, I think we run 250 at Texas. It was 167 laps or, you know, it's 350K or something like that, and that's that is the longest race of the year, and but, you know, we've got through them all, and we're just going to keep digging. We're going to get some of these racetracks that are a little bit more in our wheelhouse, and we feel good about going to. I really like Kentucky, the next one on the schedule, and Iowa, my brand really good at. So we're looking forward to the next few races.
That's pretty cool. You going to do Pocono for the race they have up there, that 50-lapper?
Oh, yeah, we're definitely going to do Pocono, go to Tricky Triangle. I call that thing a road course with only left-handers, so pretty excited about that one as well.
Well, you've got some good road course experience anyway with the three different shape and bank turns, three different lengths and straightaway, and you get to shift gears and all that.
Yeah, no, I like shifting. I like, once again, I like a racetrack that isn't symmetrical, and you have to you know, set your car up or truck up for one of the corners and make it work through the other two. I think that's how racetracks should be. Some of these places we go, they're just they're the same, and it all comes down to equipment. And I think it needs to be put more in the driver's hands.
Yeah, that makes it also more fun to watch. Now, Pocono, what turn do you like the best? I feel that you really want to have it set up for 1, 2, or 3. I think two is a tough one because three, if you can get a good run off of two, you can get into three, and it's a nice wide sweeper. That should be one of the least ones, but that's me.
Yeah, well, two is the funnest corner, I believe. Well, one and two are really fun, but two, you're carrying a lot of speed through. But you definitely got to get the truck rotated and back to the throttle really early out of three, leading onto that big, long front straightaway. You know, obviously, that's where we're carrying our most speed, and that's where we need to be the fastest. So you need to be able to get out of three as best as possible back to the gas and rotating and be able to drive off as hard as possible. So I think, you know, you really need to set it up for three. You know, when you set it up for three, you can get through two pretty good, and you just got to go drive it through one and through turn one. So, you know, I'm okay with that. You downshift in one, and you can get onto the gas and stuff like that. So that's pretty cool.
I think, I guess, being you can only do so much with the rear end. Transmission gearing might come in a little bit of play on it.
Yeah, yeah, there's definitely different ratios you can put in the transmission. You know, we're kind of put in a box by NASCAR with the rear end gear, but, you know, we're a little bit in a box as well with the transmission gear. There's only so many we can use, so I just got to make an educated guess and hopefully you guess right about your ratios and get it good for restarts and also for your downshifting.
Now, that's for sure, because, you know, especially like a place like Pocono where, you know, you have that long straightaway, you want to make sure you'll be able to wind it out before you have to go into one. But then again, you don't need as much, you don't need as much run out when you're coming to the finish line because it's in the middle of the straightaway. So it's
Well, you know, I mean, normally what we do there is we downshift into one, into third, and then out of one between there and the tunnel turn, we'll go back to fourth. And depending on how your truck's getting through the tunnel turn, you know, sometimes you downshift. Most times you leave it in fourth and then maybe back down to third for turn three to get it to rotate with the throttle. And then, you know, the biggest thing there is just hitting your marks, hitting your RPM marks on your shifts good. Make sure you're not hitting the rev limiter and killing the engine or killing your run.
Yeah, that's the main thing, because especially, you know, in the lower gear, you can rev out pretty quick.
Yep. So you got a lot of stuff going on in the truck, and I enjoy that. I mean, I love road course racing. I love shifting. I think it adds another aspect to our sport, and I really enjoy it.
How do you like driving the Chevy body? I think the last time you were still driving
like
a Chevy in the new
Camaro. Yeah, I mean, the new Silverados, the new trucks look great, but, you know, Silverado, Chevy did an unbelievable job with the nose, and, you know, they're going back to the way trucks should look. They look like the true street truck. It looks like the Chevy Silverado I drive around every day. So, you know, I think NASCAR and the manufacturers did a great job with that, making these things look like the street trucks again.
Yeah, because I mean, that's what people like to see. It looks like it goes on the street when it's on the track, and then they go out and hopefully buy it and you know, race on Sunday.
Hopefully we win on Friday or Saturday, and they buy on Monday. That's the goal.
Right. Well, if most car dealers open on Saturday, so if you win on Friday, you buy on Saturday. But
Yeah, heck yeah. Well, as long as they buy after we win, it's all good.
So I see you also I've been up on you, TJ. I haven't missed out on you. I'm doing some clothing lines now. How's that coming along?
No, we're working hard on Defiant. Defiant's going really well. I do all the silkscreen designing, everything out of my own house. And, you know, it's not for everybody, but I design clothes that I like. And, you know, it's got a little bit of a West Coast flair on it. And being that's where I'm from, that's what I wear. I haven't changed my roots. I'm still Reno, Nevada boy that grew up and I'm living in North Carolina. But so, you know, we're having fun. People can go check it out on DefiantClothing.com. We have some of the new summer stuff coming out here pretty soon. You know, it's tough being racing all the time and trying to run the clothing company as well.
Does the missus help you out with that a little bit?
Yeah. She's definitely involved in it. And, you know, we got some cool girl stuff. Actually, the girl stuff seems to be selling better than the guy stuff. I think that's because girls like to shop more, though.
I think that's it, too. No, what's the difference between the West Coast flair and the East Coast flair? I'm picking your brain and your other part.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I wear a flat-brimmed hat pulled down over my ears, you know, bright colors. You know, everything that's out West comes this way or either or. So, but I've kind of stuck with a little bit different look. And, you know, a lot of people on the East Coast wear, you know, a little bit more conservative stuff where I like to be bold and broad and make a statement.
Ah, so that's the difference. Well, sometimes the East Coast tries to copy the West Coast anyway, and maybe that's a good thing.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I love them both. I'm actually down here at Myrtle Beach right now, enjoying the East Coast beach, so having a good time.
Oh, yeah. I've been to Myrtle a few times. I hit some of them Calabash all-you-can-eat buffets, boy, I'll tell you.
Just got done it one. My belly's full.
That's a wheel. Take a wheelbarrow to get me to the car, you know.
Yep, exactly. So.
And You golf? Because that's a big golf town as well.
Yeah, yep. Me and Dad came down with me. We brought our golf clubs and just got parked today, and we're maybe going to think about maybe going playing some golf on Wednesday and enjoying the sun, relaxing, and enjoying the week off more than anything.
You need that downtime sometimes, because I know in the race truck or car, you get to running all over the place, and it's good. At least that's one good thing about the truck series. You can recharge the batteries a little more often.
Yeah, and I love it. And, you know, I love doing what I do, and I love racing. And, you know, we've been going, well, I say we're 5 weeks straight because I had to go do a media week in St. Louis, and it's kind of nice to spend some time with Mom and Dad more than anything. They came to North Carolina a little bit later in the year, so I haven't been able to spend much time with them, so it's nice to get down here and just hang out.
Well, that's good. That's why you spend some quality time, especially, you know, Father's Day weekend. So that was a good deal there.
Yeah. No, we got to race on Father's Day weekend, so you know, I wish we could have had a little bit better finish for him on Father's Day, but I got him a new iPhone 5S, so he's busy trying to figure that thing out and maybe a few swear words every now and then, but we're getting him up on technology a little bit.
Well, he can't be that old.
No, he's not that old. He's just he doesn't like change much.
I'm almost 56, so if he's younger than me.
You guys are racing pretty neck and neck here.
Now I'm up on technology because I think it's fun to have to go surf the web. But, you know, with all these social sites, you know, you got your Twitter.
Facebook, Instagram.
Why don't you plug all your social media so we can get everybody hooked out there that hasn't had the chance to yet?
Yeah, on Facebook, go to TJ Bell fan page. Add me there. I do have a personal page, but I can't add any more people because I've reached the limit. But so go check out the TJ Bell fan page. On Twitter and Instagram, it's at TJBell_racing. I'm sure we'll have a lot of cool pictures from the beach this week up on Instagram and Twitter, and it'll be fun to follow, so everybody go follow.
Pretty good. So off a couple of weeks until Kentucky, which is that's a Thursday night race.
Yeah, it's weird. It's a Thursday night race, so I know I'm looking forward to getting to Kentucky, and I always love racing at night, and you know, it means a little bit more now that we have the electrical linemen on the truck because we couldn't race under the lights if it wasn't for them.
Oh, that's for sure. And because you got to get the juice to the bulb somehow.
That's right. That's right.
Oh, yeah. So, well, it's good to have you back on. It's been a while.
It's good to be back on, and I appreciate you having me on. And, you know, we'll do it some more throughout the year, and hopefully we got some good finishes to talk about, and we'll go from there.
That's for sure. We'll be in touch. I send you a message once in a while on your Facebook page, but it's hard to find out when you're on or somebody else is handling it for you. So.
Yeah, I'm not sure when it's going on like that either.
That's what PR people are for.
Yeah, well, no, it's good. I try to be on there as much as possible, and, you know, sometimes my messages get checked without me looking at them, and I don't know they're even on there. So, I do all my own Twitter. I do all my own Instagram. I don't do my Twitter during the races, obviously, because NASCAR frowns upon that. But other than that, it's me.
Yeah, I know Brad Keselowski got in trouble for tweeting during the red flag at Daytona a couple years back.
Yeah. Now we can't even have our phones in the cars.
I don't know what good that does, because if you're driving, you're not going to be on it.
Well, yeah.
But when you're
sitting
in the red flag, you can promote what's going on, like for stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, most of us they hand it to us when we're in practice, when we're sitting in the garage, or you know, now a lot of us have our iPads in there looking at lap time stuff like that. So. You know, technology is changing every week, that's for sure.
I know. And it's just hard to keep up with. You need people just to handle that. You get somebody you do your own Facebook, let somebody else do, or tweeting. I think that's probably the easiest because you only have to put up a couple little things there.
Mean, I try to stay up on it, but, you know, the PR people are really good about the Facebook stuff, and I really enjoy Twitter and Instagram. I like Instagram the best because you just get to look at pictures. So.
Yeah, that's true. Well, that's one thing I got the Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook. I haven't done the Instagram or Pinterest or just sort of.
Yeah, I don't do the Pinterest. I do the. You gotta check out the Instagram. It's pretty cool. You can do pictures of everything, and it's kind of fun.
All right, I'll have to check it out, and then I'll have to follow you on that as well.
All right, buddy. Well, I greatly appreciate the time tonight.
And, that's good to have you back on. Great talking to you. And we'll always wish you well because you're a friend of the show. At least I think you are. I hope you are.
Oh, yeah, I'm definitely a friend of the show. I enjoy being on, and I enjoy you, you know, getting me on whenever you can.
And we'll have you on a little more often than...
Perfect. Well, that'd be great. I appreciate it.
Keep an eye on you during a race, pulling for you to get closer to the front end of that finishing order.
Oh yeah, we'll get there. We're slowly working on it, and you know, once again, just can't thank everyone at Make Motorsports and the American Electric Linemen and FallenLineman.org and the International Lineman Museum for everything they're putting up for us to be able to go do this.
All right, TJ, you take care. Enjoy your week off. Have a good time. Have a great race in Kentucky, and we'll talk to you in a bit.
All right, buddy. Thank you.
Yeah, bye-bye now.
Bye.
There you have TJ Bell, driver of the number 50 Make Motorsports Chevy Silverado. Joining us on the air, I know it was a last-minute grab, but you know, I haven't talked to him in a while, and he's a good guy, always comes on. And... he's driven all sorts of series. He's done some road racing in the 24 hours of Daytona and some IndyCar and Nationwide, Truck Series, Cup Series. All good all-around driver. And, you know, he's not going to beat up the equipment. So we always wish him well, and he's always good to have on. So it's great having TJ Bell on, and we wish him and Make Motorsports well in all they do, because they're one of the small teams that, you know, kind of like old school NASCAR racing. Like, you have the team, you don't have Gibbs money or Hendrick money or Childress money. It'd be nice to have that kind of support, and would help them out a lot, but, you know, when you're doing it on your own like that, it's a pretty good thing. So, but anyway, it was nice having him on, and he's been our first guest we've had on in a couple of weeks. So more on that in a little bit. Let's get out to Thunder Valley Nationals this past weekend at Thunder Valley Dragway in Bristol, Tennessee, right next to the world's fastest half mile. And turned out to be a bunch of different winners, except for the Pro Stock event. The Pro Stock event has returned to Erica Ender Stevens, who's on her march to become the first female Pro Stock champion. So you've had the female champs in Top Fuel. You've had, I don't think there's been a female champ in Funny Car yet, but Courtney Force and Alex DeJory are going to battle out the seventh to see who gets that one. Eric Ender's had again, taking her, I think it's her third win this year. She's leading the points. She had a tough road to hoe. She went up against Larry Morgan, and then Greg Anderson, who's a multiple-time champ of the series, who red-lit. But Greg Anderson is the one that Erica Enders got her first win against after he was saying he wasn't the one who wanted to be. He didn't want to be the first one to lose to her, but that wound up happening about a week or two after he said that. So, kind of like in your face. And then up against Jed Coughlin, who was also a tough customer there, and he red lit as well. But she was running, she ran a 67 in that round, and that's in the semifinals. Her first round was 666 with a 5. That's up against Larry Morgan, and then a 669 with a 7 against Anderson, and then her. And then the final round, she had a nice clean launch with a 669 with an 8 over Jonathan Gray, who had a 13-4, so he had problems in the final. So Erica gets another win this year. I felt kind of bad that she didn't get the one for the 100th female win, because she's been been racking them up this year, and didn't quite get it. They had a new category this week in the Nitro Ladder. The Nitro Harleys were out at Bristol Raceway in the Thunder Valley Nationals, so Tommy Grimes won that. I'm surprised they had that many Nitro Harleys. Usually that's the first I've seen a Nitro bike event. And there were only 8 in the ladder, so that tells you how limited that is. And Nitro Funny Car, there's been a rough day for Team Forces. Robert Hite didn't get past, got through the second round and lost to eventual winner Tommy Johnson Jr. John Force lost round one to Alexis DeJoria. And Courtney made it to round two and lost to Tony Pedregon. And Pedregon made it to the semifinals against Tim Wilkerson, who wound up going up against Tommy Johnson Jr. in the finals. Now, Tommy Johnson Jr. returned to the series this year. I interviewed Tommy Johnson Jr. at the motorsports show in Fort Washington many years ago when he was driving for, he and Ron Capps were driving for Don the Snake Prudhomme at the time. So that's how long ago that was. And then, of course, everything relates to money, and but Tommy Johnson Jr. wound up getting all the way this time and taking home that Wally. In the top fuel category, Sean Langdon returns to winning form after having a tough time of it. The defending champion, I think it's his first win this year, went to the finals against Doug Coletta, which is another tough customer. Coletta beat Antron Brown and C. Carmazines. Carmazines beat Courtney Brittany Force in round one. They both had problems because when you're in a top fuel dragster turning 5.5 seconds, something's not going right. Carmazine had a 4.9, so that's about as far as he was going to go. It looked like a steady run for him. Coletta had a 4.17 with a 1. Usually in your top fuel, you're running 3.8s and 3.9s. If you get 3.7, if you break 3.8 and into the high 3.7s, you're really cranking them up. But I guess the heat and the humidity played a factor down there because it seemed to slow a lot of everybody down a bit to the point. The winning ET was Sean Langdon's 3.90 with a 2 to Coletta's 4.12 with an 8. So it's pretty rough when top fuel dragsters are barely hitting 300 miles an hour. Usually they're in the 320s. So it's what usually, I guess, happens. There's a lot of fine tuning that has to go on. Okay, in the Camping World Truck Series down at Gateway International in just outside St. Louis. It's actually in Madison, Illinois, just across the river. It was Darrell Wallace Jr., Bubba, winning his second race of the season, his first coming at Martinsville, where he took home the grandfather clock earlier in the year. Herman Quiroga Jr. was second. Third, Timothy Peters. Johnny Sauter came in fourth. Ron Hornaday Jr. came in fifth. Cole Custer was sixth. Ryan Blaney was seventh. Eighth was John West Townley. Ninth, Chase Pistone. And 10th was Taylor Malsom. The race took 2 hours, 6 minutes, and 16 seconds with an average speed of 95.037 miles an hour. Of course, our friend TJ did finish 19th. Three laps down, but the problem is, like you said, he ran out of gas. And if you run out of gas, you can get caught laps down. It's hard to get that back. So I was thinking if he would have been able to do that, he'd have been okay. So he still improved on the starting position, and the margin of victory was 0.329 seconds. There were seven cautions for 39 laps and 12 lead changes amongst six drivers. So it was a fairly good race. No, you have to worry about no Kyle Busch or any other Cup drivers in there. It was all Truck Series guys, all 32 of them. So it's good to see that. I think one of the stars of the race, until he scraped the wall, was John Hunter Nemechek, Joe Nemechek's son, who was running up front. He's 15 years old. And if he didn't have a problem, he might have had a shot at winning or at least finishing a lot better, because he was leading for a while. I think he led three times for 53 laps out of the 160. So he led a good about third of the race. So it just wasn't at the very end when he needed it there. Darrell Wallace Jr., the winner, led three times for 85 laps. Of course, he led early and then led late. And was coming down to a battle between Nemechek, Wallace, and Quiroga, like I said, until Nemechek and Quiroga got together and Nemechek hit the wall. Wallace and Quiroga battled it for a while, and the last caution that came out on lap 155 set the stage for a restart. And that's when Wallace was able to pull ahead and take the win. She was just had to hope the he took the white flag before the next yellow, because Truck Series gets a little crazy, and it was pretty good there. So it's funny about the truck races. They're short, they're quick, and on a track like Gateway, the mile and a quarter, it's paved, it's flat. It kind of looks like an overgrown Martinsville. But it's for some tight race, and it was pretty narrow out there down the straightaway. So that being said, it's a good race for Darrell Wallace Jr., driving the number 54 owned by Kyle Busch Motorsports. So usually when Kyle comes down, he'll jump into the 51 because he had a substitute driver caught the wall pretty good. As I find him out, Eric Jones, he bent the truck up a ton. So, and he was running up near the front. He ran. He led one time for four laps. Matt Crafton had a rough day. Wound up plowing the wall, and he was the points leader going into the race. Of course, he had a problem as well at Dover. Looked like he bent the truck up the same way. Went into Dover as the points leader. Came out, didn't have the points lead. got it back in Texas, and then his teammate now, Johnny Sauter, is leading. Actually, he says he's in the points lead, but they're tied. So, and Crafton has two wins. So if that came down to tiebreakers, I think it'd still go to Crafton. Hornaday is third. Tim Peters fourth in the points. Ryan Blaney, son of legendary dirt track driver Dave Blaney, is fifth. Herman Caroga is sixth. Seventh is John West Townley. Ben Kennedy, ninth, Darrell Wallace Jr., the winner. And in tenth is Jeb Burton. I don't know why they don't have Darrell Wallace is his second win this year on there. It is his second because he did win at Martinsville. In the Nationwide Series, on Saturday afternoon, Paul Menard took home the checkered flag, and it looked to be a battle where you weren't sure whether he was going to do it because he wound up making a late charge and pit stops come into play. Sam Hornish Jr. driving the number 20 for Joe Gibbs Racing wound up second. So after winning last time in his other start, Hornish pulls off the second place, driving limited races for Joe Gibbs Racing. Dale Earnhardt Jr. came in third. Kyle Busch was fourth. Brian Scott, fifth. Chase Elliott was sixth. Regan Smith was seventh. Kyle Larson was eighth. Ninth, Ty Dillon, and tenth, Chris Buescher. There were 14 lead changes amongst six drivers, four cautions for 22 laps, which is rather light for Michigan. Michigan being one of those tracks that is so wide, so long, 2 miles long, wider than just about any other track all the way around. There's plenty of racing room there. So that's why it was a pretty clean race. You figure four cautions for 22 laps out of a 125-mile race is pretty clean. There were more cautions in the Cup race, and they all started pretty much early in that one. So in a minute or two, but right now, as far as the points go in the Nationwide Series, Regan Smith has a 14-point lead over Elliott Sadler. Chase Elliott's 20 points back, so he's still in it. Ty Dillon is fourth, 35 back. Trevor Bayne is five, he's 50 back. Brian Scott is 55 back in sixth. Brendan Gaughan is seventh, he's 122 back. So I guess you could draw the line between sixth and seventh who's got a shot to take the championship there. There's a lot of ground to make up when you're 122 back this late in the season. We're about a third of the way gone, so it's tough to make up that kind of distance. Of course, Regan Smith last year lost 50-some-odd point lead in the championship to Sam Hornish Jr., who wound up losing his big lead and had to battle the rest of the way with Austin Dillon, who eventually won the championship, I think by about 3 points over Sam Hornish Jr. I think Sam should have put Dillon in the wall early. This way he would have clinched it. But, you know, nice guys don't race like that. So Ty Dillon's fourth, Trevor Bayne's fifth. We were at Brendan Gaughan, who's 122 back. In seventh, Chris Buescher, eighth, 123 back. James Buescher, ninth. And Ryan Reed rounds out the top 10 in points. And the Sprint Cup Series gets a little trickier. Those wins come into play. So wouldn't you know it, after going, the first 11 races without a win, Jimmy Johnson comes back to win three of the next four. Charlotte, Dover, coughed one up to Dale Jr. at Pocono, and winds up coming back to win yesterday at Michigan. I didn't even pick him to win. I picked the third-place finisher, Brad Keselowski. Kevin Harvick came in second. I think it was a little battle of when to pit, what to take, and as far as strategies go. And I think that all went out the window with a late caution, because there were eight cautions for 36 laps. So that's twice the amount of cautions in the nationwide series. Of course, they did run longer, but it seemed like they were happening quick. Last caution came out on lap 149, which took fuel mileage calculations and who was playing it safe out the window. And it turned out to be the debris in turn two one. Kind of reset the field, everybody pitted, and were able to battle to the end. So that kind of pit set it up for Jimmy Johnson to win. Brad Keselowski finished third behind Harvick. The race took 2 hours, 47 minutes, and 19 seconds, average speed of 143.4 miles an hour. Margin of victory is 1.25 seconds. So that's a good size lead. That's about a 12 to 15 length lead. And it's hard to come back from that. Paul Menard wound up fourth. Casey Kane, fifth. Jeff Gordon, sixth. Dale Jr., seventh. Kyle Larson, eighth. Good run for him, considering he had a couple miscues, including speeding down pit road, so he had to make his way back from that. And but I don't know, if he starts not making the miscues, he'll have a consistent season. Ninth is Joey Logano. Clint Bowyer finished 10th. Stewart 11th. As we get down to points, here's what matters. Right now, Jeff Gordon leads the points, but he's already in. He's got a win. Jimmy Johnson now has three wins, so that puts him at the top seed. So that gives him a good starting point for his seventh championship. Now, he's won five in a row, skipped a year. Skip 2 years. One last year for number six. So he can make it two in a row for number seven if he keeps going. Dale Jr.'s third. He's locked in with two wins. Fourth is Kenseth. He's he doesn't have any wins on the board. Brad Keselowski is fifth. Carl Edwards, sixth. Joey Logano, seventh. Eighth, Kyle Larson. Ninth is Kevin Harvick. Tenth is Kyle Busch. 11th is Ryan Newman. 12th is Denny Hamlin. Paul Menard. 14th, Clint Bowyer. 15th, Greg Biffle, and 16th, Tony Stewart. The only guy not in that top 16 with a win is Kurt Busch, so he would probably bump the last-place guy out. So if you want to give me a call, the number is 646-649-1899. Kind of wraps up our coverage of that. Let's see, maybe we can get I know what we can get. We can get Jimmy Johnson, some words from him on his win yesterday.
that looms big as the season continues to unfold. But, Rick, congratulations. This is your fifth straight win on the Sprint Cup Series, the third time that has happened in your organization history. You did that twice in 2007, and that time you also had a streak of six straight wins back in 2007. So congratulations. Maybe just talk about this win today and just about how the overall organization is performing.
Well, this is a great win for a lot of reasons. One, for here in Michigan for Chevrolet, and being a Chevrolet dealer and racing Chevrolets, this means a lot to win this race. It's good to see Jimmy, after leading so many laps here, close the deal, because we've run out of gas, broke motors, blown tires with, I think I remember a couple times coming off of four and losing it. So for him to be able to finish it off today was really good. So, and again, to the streak going, get five, that's great. And this was a good race, and it just played out the way we needed it to play out. And all our cars ran well. And I think we were a little off early in the year, and we've been kind of clicking here lately. And real proud of all the guys at the Motorsports because of working hard together, and Casey had a good day. And just a tribute to Chad and all the crew chiefs and drivers working hard, working together, the engine shop, chassis shop. Everybody's really putting out a lot of effort right now, and it's paying off.
And our winning crew chief is Chad Knaus. And Chad, certainly it was a good race. It featured a little bit of everything. And certainly the role that the entire team played today was big, as I think it just showed again today just how big of a team sport this is. But certainly 48 once again made the right calls, and things came your way, and now you've got five straight wins in the Hendrick camp, and then three wins for Jimmy Johnson. That leads all Chase drivers. So just talk about the significance of today's win.
Whew. That's pretty cool stats you got there, Gary. Thanks. Today was great. Excuse me, my little allergies are kicking in right now, so I'm struggling a little bit. But it was a long time coming. Obviously, we enjoy coming up here to Michigan, and we've raced very well up here, and we haven't been able to close the deal on quite a few occasions. So coming in here very optimistic. After what we did at Charlotte Motor Speedway, the way that the company ran at Pocono as well. So we felt like we had an opportunity. We qualified solid. And the Cobalt Chevrolet this weekend was really, really fast. So same race car that we had at Charlotte Motor Speedway, so that was a good decision on our part to get that Joker turned around and brought back to the track. And, the guys had great pit stops today, solid pit stops, good strategy. We knew that there was going to be some opportunities to play some strategy today. We also knew that if you had a fast race car, you could maybe overcome strategy that maybe somebody else would play. So we were fortunate enough to have a very fast race car and hit the strategy correct at the right time, and obviously put it all together for a solid win. And as far as Hendrick Motorsports goes, I think if you go back and you look at starting at Daytona, the engine shop and the chassis shop, the way that the Hendrick Motorsports affiliated teams and team itself has performed has been pretty impressive as a whole. The chassis shop, we build chassis for a lot of the other competitors as well, and those cars have ran very, very well. Teams that have run with our engines have run very, very well as well. So it's been pretty awesome. I could be prouder of the guys in the 4888 shop to be able to win four races in a row. I think that speaks volumes about how well both of our race cars are running out of that one team, out of that one building. But the fact of the matter is, I think we've got to be a little bit better. Last weekend, we were, a whisker away from losing that one. This weekend, maybe we were one pit call away from not winning this one. So we've got to continue to improve our product. So by the time we get to the chase, we're where we need to be.
Thank you, Chad. Questions now for Chad or Mr. Hendrick. If you have one, raise your hand. We'll get one from Kenny.
Kenny Bruce from NASCAR.com. Chad, you talked about having strategies. How many different...
Well, we thought Jimmy Johnson was going to be on there, but
didn't look that way. So let's go over to Truck Series winner, Darrell Wallace Jr., winning his second Truck Series race of the year.
All right. We'll continue our post-race media available week for the Driven for Lineman 200 here at Gateway Motorsports Park. We're now joined by our race winner, driver of the number 54 Toyota Care Toyota, Darrell Wallace Jr., and his race-winning crew chief, Jerry Baxter. Darrell, you mentioned in your Victory Lane interview this, how much of an up-and-down season you had, and what does it mean to come to Gateway and finish it off with a victory?
Oh, it means a lot. Wow. To have the trouble that we've had and to keep our cool about it and still come out and put on a dominant show like we did today shows a lot of what we have back at the shop. And, you know, we're down, but we're not out of the fight. That's for sure. We've gotten into it. That's what driver crew chiefs do. And we've made up for it and definitely come out here and be on our tippy toes each and every minute and be ahead of the ball each and every moment that we got out here and come through what we had to come through with the pit stops and then come back up through the field and then the last late restart. So to keep them to keep me cool and to keep the whole team cool, it just shows a lot of what we can do later on down the road. And I feel like we're heading up. You know, we finished at Texas. We finished 10th. And now we have us to win. So came a lot earlier than Martinsville, so I'm pumped about that.
And Jerry, Gateway was a new track on the schedule this year.
So there you have Darrell Wallace Jr. with a return to Gateway, which is a track that was off the schedule for a while until it was purchased from Dover Motorsports, who had a lot of tracks, and they wound up selling a bunch of them. But next week, on to Sonoma. The first road course race of the year. Of course, the second one being at Watkins Glen. And going to be a bunch of road course. So he's going to come out as a road course hero this year. Usually when they bring in road course ringers, they don't do so well. Last year, the race was won by Martin Truex Jr., but he was driving for Mikey Waltrip in the Napa Toyota. This year, he's in the Furniture Row Chevy. Now, that car was driven last year by Kurt Busch and wound up in fourth place. But I don't know I don't think that had as much to do with the car as the driver. So with Truex winning, nothing against Marty, but he was a lot better car this year. I don't think he's going to win this year. So that leaves in road course guys that run well on road courses there, like Jeff Gordon, Marcus Ambrose, Jimmy Johnson ain't so bad on there. Of course, Juan Pablo Montoya, who's no longer in the series, but he normally runs good on a road course. Matter of fact, where did he finish? He started 13th, finished 34th, so he had problems. He was on the league lap. Must have had pit problems because he seems to hurt himself on pit road. So you're talking 110 laps, and strategies usually come to play out. If they want to go at least three pit stops and every 30 laps or every 35 laps, if they can do it, and try to cut it down to two. If a green-white checker has to come out, then that kind of screws things up. So as far as a road course goes, here's where I tend to lean a little off the grid from who I normally kind of would normally go with. But that being said, you can't rule anybody out. So I'm going to go with Marcus Ambrose this week. He's run good there. I think he's won there. He just didn't win last year. So he could be put in the chase with a win. This could make the difference between a few guys getting in there or Pete Winner or a new person getting in. So I think I'll go with Marcus Ambrose. This way, it'll put him in the chase. Now, that's not saying somebody that hasn't won there because Tony Stewart's good on road courses, but he hasn't had that good a year. Kurt Busch is a pretty good road course driver. Jeff Gordon used to have a string of road course wins after Rusty Wallace retired, but so you can't count him out. So we'll just have to wait and see how that goes. So as far as schedules go, the Truck Series is off this week. They won't be back in action until a week from Thursday. That'll be at Kentucky, which isn't too far from here, believe it or not. Nationwide will be at Road America. That can make a difference in the championship there. That's a four-mile road course, probably the longest anywhere. And that takes a bit of endurance, so that's going to be one of those ones where it's just going to be, it'll make or break somebody. Somebody's going to move up in the standings, somebody's going to move down in the standings, or you can hold your own. Because the week after that, there'll be the Nationwide goes to Kentucky, which is on the 27th. So the trucks, you have the trucks on the 26th, the Nationwide Series on the 27th. The Cup Series will be out at Sonoma this weekend, and then on the 28th, another Saturday night race at Kentucky Speedway. Before the kickoff of the second half with the return to Daytona and then back around again. Because after Daytona, then that's New Hampshire, Indianapolis, and then Pocono again. So that being said, that's our show for in the NHRA. They'll be out at Exeter, New Hampshire, if I'm not mistaken. Let me check on that schedule. Don't hold me to it. Don't hold me to it. I'll know for a fact. Yep. They'll be out this weekend at Epping, New Hampshire, at the New England Dragway. So, and then NHRA for the weekend at NASCAR's in Kentucky. The NHRA will be up in Chicago, Illinois, at the Route 66 Raceway for there. So all series winding up into the middle of their season, so it's going to get hot and heavy. So on that note, I hope everybody enjoyed tonight's show. I'm Vince Bonfigli. We'll see you all next week. Good night and good racing.